Amen. Amen. Just for me, Jesus came and did it. Just for me. Thank you, choir, for reminding us of the purpose and the plan of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that while we were yet sinners, you commended your love towards us. You sent your Son to die on the cross for us. And we thank you for that good news. We thank you for the gospel. Now, Father, we just pray on this morning that you speak with my voice. Father, I just pray that you touch every heart in the house today, that they can hear not my word, but your holy word. Father, I ask you right now that you just grant unto us spirit-filled hearing, that we may hear what you're saying to us on today. And we'll be extremely careful, ever so cautious, to give your name all the praise, glory, and honor. It's in Jesus' name. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Let us say amen again.
Amen.
It is good to be here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church with my good friend, Pastor Will, and I'm excited about what God is doing through him in this community and in this church. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Brother Ed travel me with me everywhere I go, if I can get an introduction like that. I want to introduce you to a dear friend of mine that's visiting with me today. He works at Texas Baptist, and I told him all the things that Good Shepherd is doing with the school next door, Sally Moore, and things in the community. And I said, hey, man, I got to preach Sunday at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. He said, man, put me down. He said, I will be there because I want to talk to that pastor about how Texas Baptist can form an association with him. So I asked my good friend, Reverend Oza Jones, to come today. And he's there, wave at brother from Texas Baptist. Now, if you don't mind today, I'm going to preach from a very familiar passage of Scripture. In Proverbs chapter 3, I'm going to focus on verse 5 and 6. That's what we're going to focus on today. A passage we've heard many times before. Proverbs 3. Beginning at verses 5 and 6. In your own private praying time, I really would like you to read all of Proverbs chapter 3, because that makes up the context and the content of what we're going to be studying today. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. King James Version says that he shall direct thy path, or he will make your paths straight.
Amen.
We've heard that verse before. I'd like to preach to you, as I put a tag on this text today, speak to you from the subject, in God we trust. It is said familiarity breeds contempt. In other words, we can become so familiar with something, we really don't appreciate it. You really don't appreciate how important your big toe is until you stump it. Familiarity sometimes breeds contempt. Those of you who've been married any amount of time, it seems like you're being unappreciated. Because what happens is people have become so familiar with it, it actually breeds this idea that a lot of times it's underappreciated. That's not just true in marriages. It's not just true in life. It's also true when it comes to reading Scripture. Sometimes passages are so familiar to us that we really don't appreciate them. And this passage here in Proverbs 3, particularly verses 5 and 6, is a passage many of us have read before. It's a passage that we've probably heard at Baptist Trading Union. It's a passage that we're probably familiar with when we came to Vacation Bible School. It's a passage that you were taught when you were a little child as your grandmother or your mother bounced you on their knee. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall make your path straight. He shall direct your path. But a lot of times as we read this, we become so familiar with it. We've heard it so many times, we really don't appreciate the value it adds to our Christian life. So if you don't mind today, I want to talk to you about In God We Trust. There's a guy by the name of Charles Bennett. He's a Democrat from Florida many years ago. With the rise of communism and the fear of communism, he introduced a bill in the House in Florida to say that the slogan, In God We Trust, would be the national motto of America. He submitted the bill passed, and on July 30th, 1956, President Dwight D. Eisenhower took that bill, signed it into law, and declared that In God We Trust was going to be the official national motto of the United States. Under that legislation, Congress further mandated that the phrase be printed in capital letters in every denomination in our paper currency. It was also put on every dime, every quarter, every nickel, In God We Trust. Well, the question is, do we really trust God? I know it's on our dollar, but does it impact our deeds? I know that it's on our coin, but does it affect our character? I know it's on our bills, but does it impact our budgets? We say In God We Trust nationally, but the question is, do we as a nation trust God? That's the question, by the way, for the White House. Do we really trust God? I know it's on our bills. I know it's in our courthouses, but the question for the White House is, do we really trust God? I know it's for the White House, but it's also for the houses in Congress, Senate, and the U.S. House of Representatives. The question is, as you pass this bill tomorrow, do we really trust God? I know it just sounds like a slogan, but are you serious about it? Are you sincere? It's not just for the White House. It's not just for the House of Congress, but you know what it is? It's also for the schoolhouse. We take prayer out of school. We don't have nothing to do with God. And the reason why our kids are acting the way they do is because we really don't trust God. As you teach evolution, you say that monkey became a man. You say you evolved from some protoplasm. Do you really trust God? When science is trying to make a monkey out of you. I was just a tadpole when I began to begin. Then I became a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I became a monkey in a banyan tree. Now I'm a professor with a PhD. Do we really trust God? Listen, my friends. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just for the White House. It's not just for the houses of Congress. It's not just for the schoolhouse. But here's where I'm going to lose all my friends. Is it all? It's also for the church house. Does a church really can say this statement, In God We Trust?
But can I go ahead and lose all my friends? Because the reality is that not only for the White House, for the courthouse, for the schoolhouse, the question on the table, inquiring minds want to know, what about your house? Do you really trust God? I know it's on the money, but is it in your marriage? You notice I ain't get but one amen. Because the reality is, do we really trust God? Now Solomon in Proverbs chapter 3 is giving his son, he's sitting down with his son, as his son is getting ready to enter into the world, enter into this world that's going to be a rough world, a crazy world. So what Solomon does in the first 8 chapters of Proverbs, he sits down with his son and gives his son some practical principles that can help him with his pilgrimage on this planet. What he does, he lays out some practical principles all the way up into chapter 8 on telling him how to be skilled in living. And in Proverbs chapter 3, a series of commands of what he does not do and what he does do. And he says, listen, son, before you get out into this evil world, before you get out into this world that's going to be crazy, I want you to sit down and listen to what I'm trying to tell you, because I want you to be skilled in living and successful in life. And he said, this is what I want you to do, son. Listen very carefully. If you're going to be skilled in living and if you're going to be successful in life, you're going to have your complete and total trust in God. Can I just go ahead, in this last little bit of time I have, can I just go ahead and unpack this little 2 or 3 verses? Because there's more to this text than meets the eye. Because somebody here saying that we trust, but the question is, do we really trust God? Chuck Swindoll, pastor of Stonebriar Church, made a list of things that reveal how little we trust. Listen to what he says. He says, when you choose to worry, you don't trust. He says, when you try to fix what is impossible to fix, he said, you don't trust. When you hurry ahead and don't wait for the Lord's instruction, he said, you do not trust. He says, when you doubt biblical principles that are in the Word of God, he said, you do not trust. When you turn to others first for help instead of God, he said, you don't trust. When you listen to human counsel and give higher priority to what they say than what the Word of God says, you do not trust. When you manipulate and maneuver things and situations in your life to get what you want, do not trust. When you step in and take charge without praying or being led by the Spirit of God, so you do not trust. Well, help us, Solomon, because I got a problem because I don't trust. And look what he says. If it's a little, give me about 30, 15 minutes, I'll be done. I'll be out your head. Look what he says. Trust. Stop right there. Don't read too fast when you're studying the Bible. He said, because first of all, he says, Solomon, tells his son, first of all, I'm going to give you a declaration of trust. Well, what does that mean? He said, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how wise you think you are. I don't care how much money you have. And a lot of stuff will cause you not to trust. But listen, son, very carefully, as you enter into this world, first of all, trust. Well, trust. Can I tell you what that means? Because y'all looking at me cross-eyed this morning. Trust is this. Listen very carefully. Trust is this word carries with the idea of not only clinging to, but it also comes to the idea of confiding in and putting your confidence upon. And that sounds like something you need to put on Facebook right now. Watch this. Trust is clinging to. Trust is confiding in. and trusting and putting your confidence upon. So the question on the table is, what do you trust? Who do you trust? Who are you putting your confidence in? What are you clinging to? And what you're putting your confidence upon? That's what trust is. That's a declaration of trust. But watch this. Not only a declaration of trust, trust, and let me tell you what it is, is human attention to divine revelation. That's what trust is. He said, when God reveals something to you, you trust in that. It's human attention to divine revelation. But wait a minute. Not only in our text do we get a declaration of trust, but also we give our direction of our trust. It's in the text if you ain't tore it out of there. Watch this. He said, trust, watch this, in the Lord. Amen. See, the problem is that we have a lot of trust in many different things. We actually exhibit trust on a daily basis. Because you know what? When you put your money in the bank, you don't know who the teller is. You don't know who the bank president is. You just rely on this little sticker in the window that says Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. You don't know who's on the board. You don't know anybody, but you trust that. We exhibit trust on a daily basis. When you go to a doctor, don't you trust them? You ain't checked their credentials. You don't see if that diploma hanging on the wall is worth the paper it's written on. But when you go to the doctor, you know what? If they tell you undress, you undress. If they tell you to put this robe on, you put it on. If they tell you men to turn your head and cough, you turn your head and cough. You don't know who the doctor is, but you trust in him. And then he writes something on a sheet of paper you can't even read. And tells you to go to the pharmacy. You give that paper that you can't read to the pharmacy. You don't know your pharmacist. They go back behind some big wall there, mixing together chemicals and compounds. You don't even know what they're doing back there, Brother Will. They put some pills or something in a bottle, put a label on it, tell you what to take, how much to take, and when to take it. We exhibit trust on a daily basis. But boy, I got to take my medicine. We exhibit trust on a daily basis. The question is, if you can trust your banker, can't you trust the Lord? If you can trust your doctor, can't you trust the doctor of all doctors? If you can trust your pharmacist when he gives you a prescription, can't you trust the man that got healing in the hem of his garment? Trust in the Lord. Question is, what's the direction of your trust? Is it in trust in your abilities? Well, I'm smart, I got a degree. Are you trusting in your abilities? Are you trusting in your associations? Well, I got a friend downtown that can help me out whenever I get ready. I got a hookup. Are you trusting your abilities, your education, your income? Can I tell you something? If you trust in your job, they're handing out pink slips every day. If you have to worry about your job, they say, come here, madam. He said, I hate to tell you this, but we're going to downsize. We'll give you 2 weeks severance pay. Are you trusting your associations, the folk that you say your friends? Young people, the one that's on your Facebook, your Snapchat, your Twitter, Instagram, Folks that give you the thumbs up and you trust in that, and then now you get mad when they unfriend you because your trust is not in the Lord. Your trust is in your association. He said, don't trust in your associations, Solomon tells his son. Trust in, that's the direction of our trust. Y'all with me? He said, not only give us a declaration of trust, trust your confidence in, your confidence upon, your what you confide in, and what you cling to. He said, it's not going to be your associations. It's not going to be your abilities. It's not going to be your assets. He says, Solomon tells his son, listen, son, very carefully. When you get out in the world, your direction of your trust ought to be in the Lord. But wait a minute. There's more to this text. If y'all look at it, he said, not only does he give us a declaration of our trust, he also gives us a direction of our trust in the Lord. Watch this. He gives us some details for our trust. Y'all with me in the text? Look what it says. Trust in the Lord. How, Daddy? With all your heart. With all my heart? What does that mean? Of course, when he talks about your heart, he's not talking about the organ that beats the blood through your veins and your arteries and your corpuscles. He's not talking about the organ that governs the circulatory system. What he means is this heart is a metaphor for not only your will, your mind, but also your emotions. So we're used to using heart in a metaphorical way, aren't we? Have you heard this before? He says, man, you wear your heart on your sleeve. You heard that before? Because we're used to using heart as a metaphor. Have you heard this? Asked the lady, said, well, how come you didn't get married to that brother? Well, I had a change of heart. We use heart on a daily basis. When somebody does you wrong, and you say you give something to somebody, you help somebody out, and they treat you wrong, you say, well, at least my heart was in the right place. We use heart on a daily basis, don't we? Husbands like this. When the wife says, you know what? He said, when you get home tonight, we need to have a heart-to-heart talk. Husbands go, oh, Lord, isn't that? Right? When somebody's hurting and in pain, my heart goes out to you. There's a song that says, put a little love in your heart. Well, we know it's metaphorical, don't we? So what is it? Watch this. Trust in the Lord, declaration. In the Lord, that's our direction. The details, well, help me, Pastor Fuller, because I need you to unpack that. Because the heart, since it's metaphorical, has to do with the mind, has to do with the will, and it has to do with the emotions. In other words, I got to trust God. I got to put my confidence in the Lord with my mind. How many know that God wants you to love him with your mind? I need some help because what actually does that mean? How can I trust God with my mind? It's because there come some times in your life that God does things that don't make sense in your mind. What are you going to do? Are you going to trust your mind or are you going to trust the master? You're going to be out there on your own and there's things that doesn't make sense. But you know that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. For as heaven is high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. He said, you can't trust God because here's the thing. He said, if you don't trust God with your mind, every time it don't make sense, you're not going to do it. Here's what I want you to do. What is Solomon saying? He said, I want you to trust God. Give me some details. Trust God in your mind when you can't understand it. Just trust. Put your confidence, cling to, confide in the Lord with your mind. Well, what else is it? Not only is it the mind, it's also the seat of our emotions. The heart is. Right? My heart goes out to you. That's emotions. So what is God saying? Not only do I need you to trust God in your mind when you can't understand it, I want you to trust God when your emotions, when you don't feel it. That's easier said than done. Because a lot of times, to be honest with you, you just don't feel like it sometimes, do you? I don't know about you, I'm a preacher, I got a PhD, I've been doing this thing for a while, but to be honest with you, sometimes I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like loving my enemies and praying for those that I don't feel like doing that. I don't feel like when he says forgive others as I have forgiven you, I feel like holding a grudge sometimes. But my emotions says no. And God said, I want you to say yes. I got to go to him. I don't feel like doing that. I want them to come to me. They don't want to mess up. He said, no, I want you to go to them first. What? He said, I want you to trust God when it don't make sense. I want you to trust God, listen very carefully, with your emotions when you don't feel like it. But the heart also has the idea of doing something with your will. It's a seat of the mind, it's a seat of the emotions, and it's a seat of the will. Look what he says. He said, I want you to trust God. The direction of your trust, details of your trust, is with your heart, with your mind when you can't understand it, with your emotion when you don't feel like it, and listen very carefully, with your will when you just don't want to. How am I going to trust? Things that I don't want to do. Say, you know what? I'm going to trust God in the midst of it. But there's something else in this text. Not only do we see the declaration of our trust, not only do we see the direction of our trust in the Lord, we see the detailed trust with all your hearts, but there's a problem in here. There's a distraction to our trust. You know what it is? It's not the devil, by the way. It's not your friend, not your cousin, not your Uncle Leroy. You know what the distractions of your trust is? Listen very carefully. It's in the text. Your own understanding. He said, that is what will distract you from trusting in God. He said, he's not saying don't have understanding. Because God wants you to get an education. God wants you to get wisdom. Matter of fact, the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the book of Job are books of wisdom. He's not saying don't be wise. He's not saying not don't get an education. He's not saying not to be informed. He's not saying don't use your understanding. He's just saying don't lean on it. You know what our problem is? We lean on the wrong stuff. He said the distraction of your life, if you're not careful, Solomon tells his son, is your own understanding. Well, I've always learned it this way. Don't lean on your own understanding. Because it's a distraction. You know, I like watching TV court shows. I love watching, matter of fact, if you were to go to Netflix or anything like that, or if you were to go to some of my little streaming things I have, and I always try to look up shows that have courtroom scenes. I don't know what, I wanted to be a lawyer or something in my own other life, but I love the back and forth of the defense and the attorney and I just love the back and forth stuff, and I love the judges and how he's going to rule and all of this. I love stuff like that. Matter of fact, my favorite show is The Practice back in the day in Boston Legal. I love stuff like that. I've seen the shows. I've seen every episode probably 5 or 6 times, but I still be watching because I love getting into that courtroom scene. But every now and then, they go back and forth between the lawyer, the defense, and the judge has to issue a ruling. And the judge either, if the lawyer says, "I object," the judge will say, "Sustained or overruled." Y'all remember that? When somebody will say, "Your Honor, I object," overruled. Well, what's that got to do with this message? Because if you lean to your own understanding, you'll have problems when God overrules your objection. He said, "I want you to do this, God, I object." You know what God says? Overruled. "I want you to pray for those that despitefully use you. Your Honor, excuse me, I object." Overruled. "I want you to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Excuse me, Judge, she don't deserve it. I object." Overruled. "I want you to be submissive to your husband as unto the Lord." "Well, we don't do it that way anymore. That's old ancient times. God, I object." Overruled. Let me ask you a question. How do you respond when God overrules your objection? How do you respond when you have your life planned out and you have all your charts and your spreadsheets and you talk about everything you're going to do, this, that, and the other, and every plan you're going to have, and nothing wrong with that. But what if God takes your plan, tears it up, and overrules it? Do you take your ball and go home? You talk about, "I'm tired of church now. I was doing better when I wasn't saved." How do you respond when God overrules your objection? The biggest distraction for your trust in God is your own understanding. Get all the education you need. Get all the wisdom, Mike, that you can. Learn everything that you need to learn. Just don't lean on it. Lean on the Lord and trust in him. I'm done when I tell you this. Last thing, and I'm done. The decision of our trust. Here's what you do. If I don't lean to my own understanding, what do I do? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Act on the knowledge that you already know. Here's what he said. He said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, I want you to act on the knowledge you have about God. Not what you think you need to do." He said, "What I want you to do is what you know about God. Trust that. What you know what God will do, I want you to trust that." That's a decision of our trust. Last point, and I'm done. But he tells us all the things we ought to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him. And then look what happens. Now God enters the picture. You know what he says? Let me tell you what he'll do. He'll make your path straight. Now, they're not talking about that you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. That does not mean that you'll never be sick, you'll never be broke. That does not mean to say you can nab it and grab it. That does not mean they say all you got to do is speak it into existence. That does not mean that you blab it and grab it and can it and frame it, all that stuff. It doesn't mean that you go and lay your hands on stuff talking about I just feel like I'm going to get this. He doesn't say that, no. He said what he does is he'll make your path straight. In other words, he'll not only guide you in your path, he'll guard your path. He'll make your path straight. Because here's the thing, if you lean on into your own understanding, your life will be crooked. Because instead of doing the tough stuff, what you'll do, you'll lean to the path of least resistance. And watch this, it's the path of least resistance that not only makes rivers crooked, it makes men crooked. The reason you have twists and turns in rivers is because the water flows to the level that it's not going to get any resistance. So if your life is a path that you have no problems, no issues, if you want a life like that, Proverbs doesn't promise you that. Because even in the fact that you're going to live this life, you're going to have to live a life that's going to have some issues and some problems. But God can use those problems to get you to go further in life, further direction. But you're going to have to trust in the Lord. You know, every now and then, I like to try to play golf. I'm not very good at it. I need some more practice. I need to go to the driving range. And so I lose a lot of balls. They're going to the rough and I can't find them. They're going to the trees. I can't find it. And I have to take a drop of mulligan and all that stuff. I don't know that. I can't drive very well either. I can't drive a long distance. I don't have that much strength and much power in my swing. But originally the ball, the golf ball, wasn't going very far. And so what the manufacturers did was took the ball and put dents in it. And when they put dents in it, they discovered that not only can the ball go further, it can go straighter because of the dents. And can I tell you something? You get mad at the dents. You get mad at the dents in life. But God said, I put them there in your life. Not only so you can go further, but you can go straighter. What are you going to do with this message today? Are you going to say what this text says as a response to that message? God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you when I can't trace you. I'm going to trust you when I can't understand you. I'm going to trust you when I don't feel like it. I'm going to trust you when it doesn't make sense. But I'm still going to trust you. And I'm also going to trust you to do what you said you're going to do. Make my path straight. Would you pray with me today? Bow your head right where you are. Father, we thank you so much that we can approach you and trust in you. Now, Father, we got to admit that we've missed it a lot of ways. We've trusted in our associations. We've trusted in our abilities. We've trusted in our achievements. But, Father, today we repent because we haven't really trusted in you like we should have. But today we declare that we're going to trust in you with all of our heart. We're not going to lean to our own understanding, but we're going to acknowledge you, and we just believe today that you will direct our path. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.